You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you a Christmas Day special podcast because the Timberwolves are playing the Lakers in LA on Christmas Day, one of the premier games of the season for the Timberwolves, getting to play in front of all those people enjoying the Christmas holiday, getting to play the late night game when everybody's stuffed full of food and tired from unwrapping presents and chasing around kids, and now the kids are in bed. Everybody's kind of winding down the day, and the Lakers and the Timberwolves are there to help everybody unwind at the end of the day. Should be a great game with a lot of young talent on the court. And here to help me break it down, one of the hosts of the Locked On Lakers podcast, Harrison Fagan. Thanks for joining me.
No, thank you for having me, Colton. It should be a good Christmas Day game, and I'm happy to get this podcast out of my system because I will not be podcasting on Christmas Day. I already told my co-host. So this is my last one, and then I head into like a couple day break. So this should be fun.
Even us loyal podcasters and basketball analysts need a couple days of rest around the Christmas Day holiday.
Yeah, it's not even just that. Like, I'd be happy to do it, but I'm going home for the holidays. Like, you know, like a lot of people do. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure that my mom would murder me if I not only watched the game, but then was like, okay, yeah, but I need an hour after the podcast. So I think that's kind of my stance on it.
We're trying to keep Harrison alive this Christmas season. So that's why we're doing the podcast ahead of time. But we've got a lot to break down this game. First of all, as someone covering the Lakers, how excited are you about the Lakers coming off that win against Houston? That's got to be a little bit of a spark for the Laker Nation to have them beating the Houston Rockets 122-116.
Yeah, I think they're going to play the Warriors tonight, so some of that enthusiasm may be dulled before the Christmas Day game. But
a little bit of tempering.
Exactly. But the Rockets game was incredible, not just because they beat one of the best teams in the league, and like arguably the best team in the league right now, and a team that I basically wrote 600 or 700 words before the game on why they wouldn't beat, and then they went out and made me look stupid by beating them. But they also beat them behind kind of the efforts of their young core. It was a game that going into it, I was highlighting, you know, KCP is not going to play, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and Brook Lopez is not going to play. So this is going to be a young Lakers team trying to win on the road without kind of their two most steady veterans. And that might have been, I think most people expected that would be tough for them, but they went into that game. Kyle Kuzma went off for 38 points. Like, pretty much all the young guys played well, except for Julius Randle, who didn't get that many minutes. But Corey Brewer was also a big scorer in that game, so that's obviously not a young guy and part of their core. But I think just for Lakers fans, getting to watch them win it on the back of Kyle Kuzma scoring was, I think, just a real boost heading into, like, coming out of that game. Like, okay, we beat an actual contender, and it was on the backs of one of our young guys.
I'm just going to ignore whatever happens against the Warriors and get excited about this matchup because I think that both these teams are on a bit of a mission here. You have the Lakers who are I would say they have some confidence. Whatever happens over the weekend, I think they still have confidence, a little bit of a swagger from beating the Rockets, especially because James Harden put up 51 points in this game and they're still able to overcome his amazing performance on the night. And then you have the Timberwolves who are coming. They really came in and wanted to beat some really good teams. They play Portland, beat them in a comeback, came back against the Denver Nuggets and beat them over the week. And now you have them wanting to really show their stuff on Christmas Day on a big stage. So I think both of these teams are coming in with a little added oomph and a little added giddy up in their step just because of what's transpired over the week leading up into this game.
Yeah, I think so too. And it's also because, again, it's a Christmas Day game. You mentioned that that's like the marquee matchup, but one of the marquee days for the NBA. And I think for the Timberwolves especially, like, they're on national TV more now than they were, but I still think that it's two of the best, like, most promising young cores in the NBA. And I think both of them are going to be kind of determined to show that they're better, even though the Timberwolves have obviously been on aggregate, like, a lot better this season. But I think you're going to have the Lakers coming in. They're playing at home. And they're going to say, like, why can't we win this on Christmas Day? Why can't we show that, you know, Lonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma is more promising moving forward than Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins? Like, I don't know that I believe that, but I'm sure that that's something that they believe and something that they're going to go out and try and prove.
One of the guys I was watching, I think probably too closely just for my own good, but I'm just way too deep into the rabbit hole that is college basketball and draft and everything like that for the NBA. Josh Hart, I really liked him coming out of college from Villanova. He had 11 points in the game. He maybe wasn't the premier player with Kuzma dropping 38, but I really liked him coming out of college. I think he might be a nice piece for a team to play some role minutes. What have you been seeing from him over the last couple weeks? Because he might be one of the X factors in this game headed into the Timberwolves and the Lakers.
Yeah, so the way that I've described Hart over the last couple games, because I agree, he's been really good. He, like, it was weird. His plus-minus against the Rockets was really bad, but it did not reflect the eye test. Like, watching him, it looked like he was making a positive impact on that game. So that might be one of those one-off, like, small sample size type things. And he, the way that I've described him to everyone, like, when I asked, is he's basically been this season like Kentavious Caldwell-Pope without all the bad decision-making. And that's kind of something that the Lakers need. Like, in the games where Hart has started, the Lakers' starting lineup has seemed to function a little bit better because they don't have this guy that is just kind of jacking some of the most. Like, I've said this on our podcast before, but Caldwell Pope, for all of his strengths, and, like, on aggregate, he's been a positive for the Lakers this year. But for a guy that's touted as this 3-and-D, like, kind of low, like low maintenance, like role play, like souped up role player type guy, he takes some of the worst shots you will ever see. Like, a guy that's expected to just kind of, that's not really expected to be one of those alpha dog scorers take. And Hart does a lot of the things that KCP does, maybe not quite as well yet, but he does a lot of those things, and he does them almost as well. And he does them without just randomly jacking 35 footers on the break.
No, yeah, he seems to be one of those guys, even though he is a rookie, that is going to more often than not make a smarter decision as opposed to making a kind of brash, highlight-driven decision that maybe some of the other guys on the roster would make. I also like, too, when you have the head coach Luke Walton kind of bred in that system of small ball a little bit more, because after his time with the Warriors, I think it's good for the Lakers to have another guard that they can throw out there when they have, and they have a little bit of lineup flexibility if some of these guards are actually hitting and playing well throughout the season.
Yeah, and Hart is a guy who, this is like a cliche about 3-and-D guys, but he's a guy that very much understands what his role is and understands how he can help the team. Like, even going into the year, he showed like an awareness as a rookie that a lot of guys don't show, where he was asked on, I think it was the Lakers official podcast, and he said what he wanted to do this year. And he said he wasn't really worried about scoring. He said he wanted to improve. He was focused on improving the team's defense to like top five or something. And like, that's obviously a completely unattainable goal, but the way that he talks, he's not really worried. Like, you get the sense it's genuine, that he's not really worried about his offensive production so far. And I think that's one of those things, is being a four-year guy, he kind of is less out to get his own, and he understands that the league is going to recognize it if you contribute on defense. Like, the league is at the point where you don't have to score 20 points a game to get paid and have a future in the league. Like, if you're a switchy, quality defender who can guard multiple positions, that's just as valuable, or if not more, than a guy who can ISO score. And so he's very much seemed to take pride in, like, really just defending everybody who's put in front of him. He did like a pretty decent job on LeBron James when the Lakers played the Cavs. Now, LeBron still got his because he's LeBron and he's unstoppable, but you couldn't really chalk it up to Hart's defense or chalk it up to him being defended by a rookie, which is like pretty rare, I think.
No, yeah, and I think the comparison I would say is I feel like he's a lot like Tyus Jones, where he's not as worried about scoring as he is about making a mistake that's going to hurt the team. And I think that's really valuable to have coming off the bench and having just as a piece, one of those role guys that you can plug in and have him play 21 minutes and you know he's not going to really sink the team because he's trying to do too much or overextend himself. So I like, in a matchup where there's a lot of young guys that people pay attention to, he's one of the guys I think is not getting enough credit.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that he's one of those guys, he can be an X factor in the Lakers game. So if you're looking for someone coming in off the bench that's going to kind of change the pace of things, then that might be like one of the guys that you look at, or maybe even a guy that ends up closing the game. He's done that a couple times in recent weeks, so we'll see.
We're going to continue looking at a couple of the matchups in this game after a real quick break. Now moving on to some of the guys that everybody wants to talk about. Obviously, this is the biggest name in this game, I think. Andrew Bogut. Just, you got to talk about this guy. You got to talk about this guy.
Biggest, like mathematically and factually, he is the biggest player in this game named Andrew.
Oh, definitely. 100%. He had an impressive 2 points against the Houston Rockets. I actually thought he played pretty well if you take away the stats and don't really look at the numbers. I thought he played pretty well just anchoring the middle of that lineup. And I think you need him to pull at least around 20 minutes just because with Lopez out, you need somebody when they go bigger. And I don't think Julius Randle is the guy that you can just throw in at center. Brandon Ingram definitely isn't because he doesn't play physical enough. So I think he's important in a specific role. How comfortable are you saying that you're depending on Andrew Bogut to help anchor a little bit your defense?
See, I'm not sure that the Lakers are. I think he got a lot of minutes the other night, and Luke talked about this after the game, where Bogut, he was only planning on playing in like four or five minutes to start the game and then going back to his regular rotation. But then he played so well, and the Lakers as a whole, it wasn't even necessarily Bogut. Like, he did a pretty good job protecting the rim, but it was just like the Lakers were on fire. And I think Luke didn't want to mess with that lineup, and so he left Bogut a little bit longer. But then about 18 seconds into the second half, he subbed him, and I'm not sure that he played him again, because the Rockets kept going small. And so if teams are going to go small, then the Lakers would rather play small, actually, with Randle at center. And he's been really, really good in that role. He's actually the only Laker that's played like a significant amount of minutes this season that doesn't have a negative net rating. And he's actually at 0.0 right now. He was positive, and then the Houston game actually knocked him down a couple pegs. But the Lakers are also never worse in terms of net rating than when Randle is on the bench. They're getting outscored by 4.2 points per 100 possessions when he sits. And so he's been really, really good for them. And so I don't know that the Lakers are really going to be relying on Bogut. I think they aren't going to start Randle because Walton has had a weird thing about giving him too many minutes. And I think that most NBA coaches, they like to start with that more traditional lineup. And I'm like pretty sure, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm fairly certain that if you like Bogut, the guys that he turned down this summer, I'm fairly certain he was promised a certain amount of minutes and a certain amount of role. And so I think they're going to start Bogut, and maybe he'll protect the rim well again. Maybe he'll play all right on defense, but maybe he won't. And then in that case, I think the Lakers will have a pretty quick leash for him. They haven't been shy about going small this year.
If you want to see them go small ball, would you rather have Randle at the center, or would you rather have somebody like Larry Nance playing at center? Because he's played a few more minutes now too.
Definitely Randle, and it's actually not really particularly close for me. Nance actually has the worst net rating of any Laker to play significant minutes this season, and he's not a center, and we've seen that over the last like 2+ years now. He just doesn't really have like the rim protection ability that you'd like. He can weak side shot block occasionally, but as far as like staying disciplined and staying back and doing a lot of center things, he's like rebounding and all that stuff, he's just not really the best at it. And he's actually like kind of had some under the radar difficulties this season that he doesn't really get blasted for, because he's like an energy guy and Walton continues to praise him nonstop. And so it's kind of gaslighted the media into thinking that he's doing like really good things. And he's also just like a nice guy. And so I think there's a reticence to like criticize him too much. But for the most part, he has not been very good for the Lakers this year. And so to me, like just watching the games and looking at the numbers, it's just not really even close that you'd rather have Randle in there.
And that leads into the first matchup I really want to look at perfectly is, do you think that Julius Randle can give a guy like Karl-Anthony Towns or Taj Gibson, do you think he can give them the sufficient amount of problems that I think the Lakers need him to give those players to give them a shot at winning? Do you think he can give them problems because of his physicality? And Towns, we know he's not really a physical guy. He doesn't really like to play that kind of game. He's more of a kind of finesse offensive guy more than anything else. I think you saw against LaMarcus Aldridge, most notably when they played physical with him, really physical, he kind of shied away from it a little bit, and he's gotten better over the course of the season, but I still think that's the route. Do you think Randle can play that style to a maximum effect against Towns in this game?
So going into the year, I never would have said Randle would have a problem with physicality, because that's never been, but it's mostly been offensively, and it's mostly been just like straight up plowing through guys to the point where he will get offensive fouls sometimes just for kind of dribbling, because he's so strong and he's so aggressive that he'll take guys on his shoulder, and he's a big dude. He'll knock them down. But defensively, I would have said, oh, like, hell no. Like, there's no chance that he's going to give Towns problems on defense. But then early, like, as the years went on, like, especially there, the game where I started to have a turning point with Randle and say, okay, this isn't a fluke anymore that he's defending this well, was when they played the Pelicans early in the year. And he was defending DeMarcus Cousins, like, really well and really aggressively and really physically. So I think if the refs do kind of – it's one of those games where the refs let them play a little bit. I think especially Randle seems to very much get up for matchups with his fellow Kentucky guys. And so I think you'll definitely see him – like, it won't be for lack of effort if it comes to him getting physical with Towns. And so we'll see how quick the refs are with their whistles. But if it's one of those games where they're kind of willing to let the guys kind of jostle with each other a little bit, I think you'll definitely see Randle get plenty physical with Towns.
I think of those late-night Christmas Day games, too. I think they let him get a little – I think in the afternoon, they're a little quicker on the whistle. Those are the very premier matchups of a day filled with kind of anticipation for those basketball games. You see them want to have those guys score, and they're a little quicker on the whistles and let them play a little less physical. And then I think at the end of the Christmas Day game, I think you're seeing them play a little more physical. So I think that'll be definitely a matchup to watch. I think Taj Gibson will be ending up having to be the guy on the boards for the Wolves to really go toe-to-toe with Randle and just play that push-and-shove kind of basketball.
Yeah, I think you're probably right on that.
Now, I think I wanted to go to next to Kyle Kuzma. I think we got to talk about him. What have we gone? About 15 minutes without really mentioning Kuzma. That's probably got to be a record in the podcasting world when you're talking about Laker basketball. But now,
yeah, at least this over the last couple of weeks. Yeah, he's been, I think, like the story. Lonzo Ball's been the story of the season because everybody can't stop talking about him. But Kyle Kuzma has been, I think, the surprise story of the season.
And he's so much fun to watch, too. It's not just that he's averaging, first of all, he's averaging 17.4 points per game, started out really low on minutes until he finally worked his way into that starting lineup. He's playing great basketball. One of the more big surprises of the year. I think he might even be more surprising than Donovan Mitchell just because of not only how he's playing but where he was drafted coming into the season. He's really fun to watch. And it'll be really tough to defend against the way he plays on the wing. And when you have Jimmy Butler and Andrew Wiggins on the team, I think both of those guys are playing really well on defense. But you got to kind of pick your poison with who you want to get hot from the outside. And you don't want to have somebody like Jordan Clarkson all of a sudden get hot because they're overcommitting to defending Kyle Kuzma. It'll be interesting to see how they defend this guy. What do you expect from Kyle Kuzma in this game on a big stage?
I think he's probably going to play pretty well. He hasn't been shy about being confident and about getting shots up. And so I can't imagine that he's the type of guy that's going to come into a Christmas Day game and be like, oh no, I need to relax a little bit. Like, this is too big of a stage for me. This is a guy who, when he was asked by the Lakers sideline reporter after this game against the Rockets about his 38-point night, they're like, did you expect to do this as a rookie? He just says yes. And that was his answer. Like, no explanation, just, yeah, 27th overall pick, expected to score 38 points as a rookie. And so he's just not the type of guy that is going to – he's just not really fazed by anything. When you interview him, you ask – like anytime you ask him about anything, were you surprised by this? Did you expect – it's always yes, yes, yes. He has very high expectations for himself. And I wrote about this yesterday at Lakers Nation. Like, we're kind of at the point – where you just kind of have to stop doubting him, and you can't be surprised that he's confident anymore. I mean, everybody's been wrong about him every single step of the way. It's no surprise. Like, his season has basically been like a proverbial middle finger to the rest of the league for not taking him earlier. And so, like, yeah, I expect him to have a big night against the Wolves. I think that's he seems to rise for these big games, or at least get a lot of shots up. And so maybe he won't have a big scoring night if they're not going down. But I think the Wolves' defense has kind of struggled as of late, if I remember correctly. And so I think this might be a night where he can kind of maybe get going. And I probably just jinxed him.
There's the optimism. I think the Wolves, too, you saw in the Denver game where the Timberwolves, when they were slogging through that first half, they really need to, and they picked up in the second half when they forced the Denver Nuggets into more of an up scoring kind of pace of play. They really do need to score some points, and they really have to hit that 100-point mark to even have a shot at winning games. And they're definitely going to want to go back and forth scoring-wise with the Lakers as opposed to trying to make this a defensive battle. I think one of the other things, too, on the Lakers, Kuzma and Ball are kind of taking all the headlines, but Brandon Ingram's been playing really well, and he and Kuzma have both had really great Decembers. Kuzma's averaged 17 points throughout the season, 19 in December, and then 16-point average for Brandon Ingram throughout the season, 17.5 through December. So these two guys are hot at really good times, and both of them are going to be guys you got to look out for in this game just because they're really hitting their stride in December.
Yeah, Brandon Ingram's been really good this month. Like you mentioned those two guys, and then the other guy, Lonzo Ball, has been really good this month. He's quietly started to shoot like pretty decently during the month of December, and like all of those guys starting to break out now. It's what the Lakers needed, but it's not necessarily what was expected. And so what I mean by that is December was supposed to be the toughest month of the Lakers' schedule, and they haven't done great, but they've played okay basketball. They've beaten some teams that they weren't expected to beat. They've hung in there a couple times with the Golden State Warriors, and it was supposed to be like a tougher stretch for them than so far it's been. So maybe they start to regress to the mean a little bit against the Warriors tonight as we're recording this, or against the Wolves on Monday on Christmas Day when, you know, the game that we're recording this for. So maybe that happens, but so far they've been all the young guys have really, really stepped up this month, and Ingram's been incredible. He's went toe to toe with Durant a couple times in their last two matchups against the Warriors. We'll see how that goes on Friday night. And then Lonzo Ball, again, like I said, he's been shooting better. He's been moving the ball well. He's been like more trustworthy as far as closing out games. And so I think it's really you're starting to see the signs where maybe this is not a team that makes the playoffs or even really challenges for a berth. We'll see about that. My co-host Anthony is more convinced that they will than I am. But you're starting to see the types of things from these young guys that you want to see for the franchise moving forward as far as being able to trust them as the young core of the future and seeing the signs of development that you want to see to be able to believe that they're going to kind of be that future.
Yeah, I have a buddy who is a big gambler who also likes the Lakers' chances of maybe sneaking into the playoffs. And I think that more when you see them beat a team like the Rockets, this is maybe a little bit of a glimmer of maybe next season or the season after what is to come down the road a little bit. And you see these rookies when they're getting these rookies and young guys when they're getting up for big games like that. That's maybe the anticipation is down the road. This is the potential that they have. We're going to keep breaking down the Lakers-Timberwolves Christmas Day game after another quick break here. So if for the Lakers to win, what does the best-case scenario look like? What happens in the best-case scenario for the Lakers to win this game?
So I think this is going to sound cliche, but they have to shoot the ball well. And I say that because they've been one of the worst free throw shooting teams in the league, if not the worst. And they've also been the worst three-point shooting team in the league for the majority of the year. And so they just really have – it's been a weird strategy, but for some reason they're putting a plastic lid on the rim whenever they go down on offense. And, you know, I just – it. Their offensively things have not been going well for them. And so they'll need a guy to go off like Kyle Kuzma did against the Rockets, or they'll need something like that in order to have a good chance here. And then I think the other thing that they need is they need to play kind of like better defense than they've been playing their last couple games. And they're still around, like as of this recording, like eighth in the league in defensive efficiency, which is a lot better than I expected them to be and a lot better than almost anyone expected them to be. But I think that over the last couple games, they've kind of struggled to defend a couple teams, which is going to happen when you play a team like Houston that has the number one offense in the league or the number two offense in the league. And so they're going to need to play. This is, again, my cliche, but they're going to have to play a little bit better defense like they were earlier in the year. We'll probably need to see Randall do a pretty good job defending as a small ball center, especially because I don't anticipate Bogut will be able to play long, effective stretches. And I think that they're just going to need to shoot the ball well. So they're going to need Kuzma to continue the hot streak that he's been on. They're going to need Lonzo to not miss open jumpers when he has them. They're going to need Ingram to have one of his effective scoring nights. Like, they're going to need somebody to step up and really get going as far as scoring, because it's been hard for the whole team to do that because they're just kind of – they don't have a lot of shooters. And so it's kind of something that we expected going into the year, but they'll need at least one or two guys to really kind of outproduce their normal margin.
Well, that was one of the things, too, when I'm watching the Rockets game. If I'm a Timberwolves fan, I'm a little worried because on the one hand, if Butler is taken over the game and he ends up with like 35, 38 points, that seems like it's a really good thing. But on the other hand, you had the Lakers who were totally comfortable with letting Harden just have a great night and just playing off of that by getting other guys the ball on their team and making sure they're scoring from all around their roster and making sure that on the Rockets, nobody else is really having a big night. So that might be a little bit of a trap there. If Butler keeps hitting shots and they just make sure that he keeps playing basketball at a high level and everybody else is playing at a really poor level, that would be the way to win this game. So there's a little bit of a trap aspect there where Butler can have a really great night and the Timberwolves lose this game.
Well, the Lakers know that when you have a superstar like Kyle Kuzma, you can just get into a shootout with another guy like James Harden and come out victorious.
That yeah, you definitely have been covering the Lakers for this season, haven't you?
Yeah. No, I mean
you're starting to slide into the Kuzma cult.
I'm being facetious a little bit, but obviously he's been incredible this year. And like I saw somebody say like that like leave him as like an honorable mention on their All-Star ballot this season. And like I think that's like obviously a little bit premature. He's definitely like in the rookie of the year discussion as much as anyone can be. Like it's Ben Simmons is going to win that award, but like he's up there like in the top three rookies for sure, along with Donovan Mitchell.
No, yeah, he has been definitely when we look back at this season, even if he doesn't take another shot for the rest of the year, when we look back at this season, he's still one of the biggest surprises of this year, and that is saying something with how he's played so far. All right, now give me the flip side. If everything goes terribly wrong, what's the scenario when everything goes terribly wrong? The train is off the tracks. People, women and children are screaming and crying. What's the scenario for the Lakers losing this game in terrible fashion?
Well, I think worst case scenario for the Lakers is Luke Walton decides to give his veterans a Christmas Day present and give Andrew Bogut like 25 minutes against the Timberwolves and just kind of let Corey Brewer go ahead and jack a bunch of shots again like he did against the Rockets. But against the Rockets, it worked out. Maybe this game, I would anticipate it probably doesn't, because I think on aggregate, Corey Brewer has been a negative for the Lakers this year. And so, but maybe he's like, okay, revenge game. You're playing against your former team. You had 51 points for the Timberwolves one time. Let's go see you get it against them. Merry Christmas, Corey. And so
we believe in you.
Yeah, exactly. But like on a serious note, I think it just is the Lakers show up to this game and they continue kind of this defensive backslide that they've been in lately. And then they also, like, all of their young guys are just trying to jack shots because it's on national TV and they're trying to show that, like, they're better than Timberwolves' young core, and it ends up working against them. And that hasn't really been something that's happened a whole lot this year, but maybe this is the game that breaks that trend. And, you know, maybe the spotlight is, like, it's just maybe it ends up being too big for them playing in a marquee game like this. I don't know. I mean, they can't hit a shot to save their lives, which has happened in more than a few games this year, where even sometimes like they'll run okay actions and they just can't hit because they just are not a good three-point shooting team. And I think the Wolves are like, even as much as they've struggled on defense this year at times, they're a pretty well coached and a pretty smart defensive team, and they're going to be aware, I would imagine, of who they're allowed to leave open, which on the Lakers is just about everybody.
No, and if you're the Jeff Teague on the Timberwolves, this is a game where you really got to show up and prove that you're the best point guard on the court, especially with all this stuff and the narrative around Lonzo Ball and the way he started the season. He was almost run out of the building by Jamal Murray against Denver when Jamal Murray had dropped 30 points, and he was kind of saved by a really good second half, and he ended with 16 points and 8 rebounds or 8 assists in that game. And so he was kind of saved by a really solid second half. But in the first half, he did not even look close to Jamal Murray, and he should be the better point guard in that matchup. So he's got to come out. That's one of the matchups too. He's got to come out and play and just be the best point guard on the floor, because that could be one of the things that maybe when you look back at this game, and if the Timberwolves lose, that could be one of the key stats, was he had a poor game and Lonzo Ball continued to have a good month in December.
Yeah, I think so. And like, I think Lonzo Ball, for Timberwolves fans that haven't been watching the Lakers a whole lot this year, it might surprise them how like strong and like he is defensively already as a rookie. And so he's the type of guy that maybe with his length, he can give Jeff Teague a little bit of problems.
And then on the Timberwolves know the other guy that needs to have a good night, Karl-Anthony Towns, he's been pumping out double-doubles all season. He needs to continue his consistency, get that 25-10 mark, just make sure that he's playing up there and he's not kind of getting beat out by a guy like Julius Randle, who's maybe forcing him into a more physical style of play. Just make sure that he sticks to what he's good at and doesn't get fazed by something like that. At the end of the day, even though the Lakers have looked good in some really key spots, most notably against the Rockets recently, but they, like you're saying, they've had some solid games against the Warriors that they weren't able to pull out a win. At the end of the day, I really like that Jimmy Butler for the Timberwolves is going to be their best defender, and he could be their best offensive player, and I think that helps them seal out this game at the end.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the Timberwolves, if you're just projecting it going into the games, I think the Timberwolves should be the favorite. Yeah, I mean, they have the better record, they have the better metric, like they have the best, and they probably, I'm not sure that there's anyone on the Lakers that's as good right now as Towns or Butler, and maybe even Wiggins. So I think the Timberwolves are the more talented team. They should probably be expected to win, but the Lakers, you know, as we've talked about, they're against the Rockets, like against, they've tended to play up to their competition, which is kind of like a thing with young teams. And so I think they're going to be pretty motivated to win this one, and we'll see how it goes.
All right, that should do it here for us at Locked On Wolves. Anything you'd like to promote, Harrison, before we head out here?
No, just if you want to know more about the Lakers, go ahead and subscribe or give a couple listens to Locked On Lakers. You can find it pretty easily in all the same places that you find Locked On Wolves. And you could follow me on Twitter if you're interested in doing so, or just yell at me for something I said on this podcast at @HMFagan. That's F-A-I-G-E-N.
And remember, from all of us here at the Locked On Network, we're wishing you a Merry Christmas. Have a great holiday season. Remember to travel safely and just have a great time watching all the great basketball games that are going to transpire over the weekend and over Christmas.
Yep, happy holidays, everybody.
That's all for us. That's been another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.